Please open your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3, verse 23. Now, if you've been listening to the last four series that we have spoken, if you remember, the first series was On Your Own Progress, if you remember that one, okay? Our spiritual growth is our own responsibility, and we are not to allow anyone. We don't let anybody else to run it for us. It's our own race. It's our own goal, okay? We are to dive in God's personal way. Now, like I said, the enemy wants to distract us. We run in that race, he wants to pull us aside, and he says, I promise you this, God can give you that. You know what I'm saying? And Hitler was one of those persons that is a perfect example. He would tell the children, ask God to give you for candy. And he says, ask me for candy. Give me candy. He would hand candy to the kids. See? That's Satan's behind it. It's Satan challenging God. And that happens to our lives every single day. He challenges God to distract us. He distracts us in our home. He distracts us in our marriage, in our family, in our workplace, financially, whatever it is. He distracts us. So don't let him distract you. If you remember, there's a passage in Zechariah chapter 3, verse 3, where Joshua was dressed in a filthy garment. You see what I'm saying? Probably he allowed Joshua to get that way and distract him to have those filthy garments, and he goes and he crosses to heaven and says, you see your high priest there? That's against the law. It's against your own word, God. It's not supposed to be like that. Right? In Zechariah chapter 3, verse 3, the Lord Jesus, before his incarnation, he basically says, the Lord rebuke you. He didn't rebuke him, but he went to his father and he says, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. That's what he does to us. He wants us to get distracted, and he says, isn't that your daughter there? Isn't that your son there? Look why he's living his life. That's what he does. Well, we're not going to allow him to distract us, because we have the Holy Spirit living in us. Living in us. We have his word that we have in our hands. Guess what? He has no room in us. He has no place for him to distract us. So that was message one. Message two, we talked about our own failure. Now we learned we don't let our failure define us. Okay? Instead, let God use that failure to refine us. Okay? So we want to be refined through our failures. To make us in the likeness of his son Jesus Christ. To make you the very, very, very best on this earth. Remember that we are one prayer away to be reactivated. We are one prayer away to be reactivated in the relationship, the fellowship with Christ again. Like Daniel just shared, you know, we can be, you know, in fellowship with Christ. So we are one prayer away. 1 John 1:9. He restored Peter. You see what I'm saying? Peter failed him miserably 3 times. And at the end, he said, you know, Peter, tend my lamb, my sheep. 3 times. But he restored him. But Peter was humble enough to be restored. Okay? In the same manner, we're supposed to be humble again to be restored by our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay. And then the third message was last week we had On Your Destiny. And what we're talking about there is our lives here on earth. See, we are living this life unto the Lord. Now, your destiny is about the investment that you make in your lifetime right now. Storing up treasures in heaven. Well, we're going to be living in eternity for a long time. Okay? So might as well, you know, invest on those things in heaven, because we're going to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. This time, we got 100 years, we think it's a lot. is nothing. It's nothing. It's just one little dust.
Vapor.
That's it. So we're going to be with the Lord forever. So we want to do the most that we can on this earth right now. We're going to rule and reign with Jesus Christ. We're going to be rewarded what we're doing right now. Your endurance, all the suffering you're going through, we're going to be rewarded. We are supposed to make a difference in the body life on earth. If I hurt, you hurt. If he hurts, I hurt. You know, that's how we're supposed to be. We are supposed to be one body. Well, this week, our final on this series is going to be on your legacy. Okay? On your legacy. The stuff that you can live, that lives on after you go. Your life, the legacy that you're going to leave behind, that lives on after you go. How did you influence others while you were here on earth? But think about that. I believe that God has left us a desire in each one of us to live a life that truly matters. I think He really places that in us, to live a life that matters to Him. You know, and that we can share that life to others, that truly makes a difference in the life of others, and really makes the world a better place. Now, I don't know if you've been watching the news, I don't know, for the last years, you know. You definitely see that we need people to have influence in this world. Positive influence. You know, set in the Word of God. You see what I'm saying? Living the life as a Christian life, not a mediocre Christian, but somebody who is focused, his eye is on the target for Jesus Christ, that will make a difference in this world and in the world to come. We need people like that. We need believers to step up and live that Christian life in the Christian walk. See, I think God planted our lives to make a huge difference, and we shouldn't take it lightly. Now, sometimes we do something in this life that we may regret, you know, and of course we have to make sure that we grow, you know, that we are actually out of it, that we can, you know, take the Lord Jesus, put an eye towards Him, and don't let these regrets in our lives become a stumbling block, like a tipping block for us. The enemy wants to use our stumblings, to our failures, to cause us to fall. And he puts that guilt in us. We can't allow him to do that. No, it is finished. It is finished. When Christ said it is finished, that means complete, done. Done away with. The enemy has no power on us unless we allow it. So don't even allow regrets in our lives. Sometimes, as you know, some people, if you ask people, if there's a study that was done in Australia, this lady who worked with the older people that were like the last 12 months of their life in the hospital, and she will interview them. If you could change your life, if you have one regret in your life, what would that be? And they will answer to her, it will be, the one regret that I will have is that I didn't live my life to the fullest. I didn't live the life that I was set up to be. I didn't live the life that God wanted me to live. You see what I'm saying? But it's at the end of the life. It's done. See, the opportunity that we have right now is for us to live the life that we have right now. To live our life to the fullest for the Lord, because that's the only thing that is going to matter, how we lived our life for the Lord. So if you look back, will be there things that you will regret the most? Now, in the number one regret that people may have right now I didn't live the life that I was meant to be, what I meant to live. How can we change that? That's the question. How, as a believer, how can we change that? Because we have all the tools necessary right now to do that. We have the Holy Spirit living in us. We have His Word with us every single day. So it is something that we can do. See, if God lives in us and we want to have His frame of reference in us, of course, we can do that. The question is, do we want to? You know, that's, I think that's all what boils to. Do we really want to do that? You know, are we living a life that is kind of, I am kind of embarrassed for them to know that I'm a Christian. Are we leading others to Christ? Mm-hmm. Do you see what I'm saying? What are we afraid of? To lose in heaven? No, we are winners already. We're going to heaven. We're going to spend eternity with God. So what are we doing to promote the kingdom of God? You see what I'm saying? There's something for us that is going to be rewarded in heaven. You know, what legacy are we leaving behind? I can tell you about my dad. My dad is 87 years old. I know what his legacy is. He was a prayer warrior. I used to hear in the morning, 4 in the morning, I can barely hear these whispers. And he's praying for his kids. Every single one of his kids he was praying for. Man, may they be an instrument for you. May you use them for your better your kingdom. May you use them to save souls. That's why he used to pray every single day. And he still does. That's the legacy of my dad. You know, and I really appreciate that, because I know that somebody is praying for me. And that's the difference. So others could be praying for us that we don't even know. You know what I'm saying? So don't be shocked when God puts you in a place where you're supposed to be a better influence to other people's lives. Yeah. There's so many, I know that especially in the Baltimore area, so many grandmothers are praying for those little children that are right now in the city. It's a chaos. But these all godly women are praying for those kids. You see? So God has a plan for each one of us. It's up to us to get to that next level, to that next notch, to live a life for Him. So, now, you're reading the Bible about heroes of the Bible, all the way from Adam, Moses, all the way to the end of the Bible, and you see that these people, we call them heroes of the Bible, but some of them lack the faith. See what I'm saying? I'm talking about Abraham. I'm going to be with you. You're going to have a son. And then he takes Hagar. I don't call that faith. You see what I'm saying? Later on, he learned what faith was. And he was considered righteous. You see? So men and women, godly men and women in the Bible, learned to grasp that faith, to let go of that themselves, to let themselves go and say, God, I believe in you, and enter into that land of faith. And they saw how God worked for them, just like Joshua, just like Moses crossing that Red Sea, like Joshua crossing the Jordan. And guess what? He took pillars, he took stones, 12 stones, and set them there. So when they look back from the other side, says, and the kids ask him or them or the people, what does those stones mean? That's when God parted the sea and we ran through them. Because the kids may not remember. You see what I'm saying? But it's a memorial what God did for them. That's what that means. By faith, you know, they crossed. But it doesn't come easy. So the same faith that we also have, to do things right now. It doesn't matter if people pat you in the back. God's in heaven. He's seeing it. He knows your heart. He will battle your tears. You will be written in the book of remembrance. Remember that. God created every single one in a unique way. Very unique. He sent His Son to die for us. Right? And He gave us all that we need to live this victorious life here. So we can't just be, lack of a better word, losers in this world. But live like winners for Christ. Because it will make a difference when we get to heaven. It will make a difference when we live in eternity. It will. He gives us all those rewards. We're going to be before the Bema Seat. We're going to be, you know, with the rewards, with the crowns, and all those things that we're going to enjoy. We're going to rule and reign with Him. Heirships with Christ. All those things are ours that He gave us to enjoy. If you do this, these are your rewards. So, we sometimes, like I was telling last week, we always attend funerals, right? Sometimes you get to those funerals where you got all these people, you ask them to share something about that person, and they can get up and share because they want to share how that person influenced their lives, right? And you get to some funerals where you ask somebody to get up and you gotta lift them up to get up. They have nothing to share. Oh, what did Bob do? Didn't he like that TV show? Oh, what's the name of that TV show like that? Right? So they always, there was nothing there. And when you leave that funeral home, you say, man, you live kind of sad. Because there was no celebration of that guy's life. What did that guy do for Christ while he was here on earth? I tell you, that was kind of like a it becomes almost like a what's the word I'm looking for?
Sober.
Yeah, it soured me to think about what my life would be. You know? And I always think, I say, what kind of life am I going to leave behind? How are the people going to remember me when I'm gone? You see what I'm saying? Yeah, it's what difference will I make? Am I living well while I'm here on earth? Will my life matter? What people may say about me at my funeral? At your funeral, what are people going to say? What legacy are you leaving behind? What difference will I make? What difference will you make? Will the world be better place because of me? Think about that question. Will eternity be fuller because I have represented Christ well? Well, when I think of my role as a husband, a father, as a leader, being a business, I think, man, in those roles, am I living my best for the Lord? That's a question that I ask myself many times. Am I living the best for the Lord? Am I living my best potential? Am I living my best potential to Him? What am I doing that is influencing this world? Yeah, I think about those questions. You know, because I don't want to be living this world and says his life was a wreck, his life was a mess. You know what I'm saying? We have the tools to make a better life for ourselves right now. Yes, the enemy is going to try to pull us aside. We can't allow him to do that. We have to put our foot down and say, Lord, I give it to you. because you fixed it all. You bought us with your price. Even my failures, you bought and give it to him. We have no excuse. I have no excuse. When I do, I'm talking to myself. You see what I'm saying? Because I'm thinking on me rather than Christ. Rather than Christ. What is my legacy going to be? What is your legacy going to be? How would you be remembered when you leave planet Earth? Remember, there's going to be a new Earth. What influence are you going to be on that new Earth? What influence are you going to be in the millennium? Reigning and ruling with Christ. See, it's not just getting to heaven. Are you going to be part of His kingdom on Earth for 1,000 years? And then Earth forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. It should excite us to do something for Him now. It should excite us to do something for Him while we're living here on Earth. We may say, well, I'm too old for that. I think my life is done. I don't think so. My dad's still 87 years old, and he's still going door to door telling them about Christ. He had a can and like a fork, you know, with 4 feet, and he's to stabilize him, and he just want to make sure that every single person knows who Christ is in his little town and the towns around. They pick him up in a truck, and they'll drive him so he can preach at 87. Now that man had a third year education. At the age of 60, he got his bachelor's degree. Is that a story for him? Yeah. I wish I have his legacy. That really matters in the kingdom. Because at the age of 27, when he gave his life to Christ, he went full time. Yeah, that's what he did. The condition of him marrying my mom was that he will start drinking and he will come to church. Okay? Well, he wanted so bad to marry my mom. Okay? Because he stopped. Because he was a drunkard. Wow. Okay? And he started coming to church. And a few years later, he was the one that set the cornerstone of the church that is in my hometown today. That has been there more than 60 years now. Something like that. Yeah. And his legacy continues. If you ask who Tomas Biafania is, they will tell you who he is. Even the drunks know him. Oh yes, he's the man of God. Yeah. And sometimes it's funny because even the drunks remember that it's Easter or it's Christmas time, right? And they walk into church. I'm looking for Tomas Biafania. So sometimes they have his preaching, you just listen to him. Oh, but if they get disrupted, they remove them, you know. But that's the legacy that you leave behind, that they know who he believes, what he believes, that he believes in the Savior of the world, Jesus Christ. And that will make a difference. It's making a difference in his little town and around. And I know that one day will make a difference in heaven. What is our legacy? What's our legacy going to be? Now, many of us, of course, have a New Year's resolution. If we do, most people say that if you do, you're already a loser, because by the end of January, it's already 98%. Out of the question anyway, that nobody's doing them. You see what I'm saying? By the time February comes, you're not doing real resolution. So, what I want to do, I want to invite you to pick one word. A friend of mine, a good pastor, a friend of mine, okay? He got me hooked into this. So what he did, he asked me to pick one word many years ago. One word. So you pick one word, okay, that it will influence your life and that will actually influence others. Okay? So, I remember my first word. My first word was to encourage. So this friend of mine says, pick a word that will help you live a life for Christ and also help others to live their life for Christ. So I picked my first word. I said, what word am I going to use? I love to encourage people. So that was my first word that I remember picking, to encourage. How would I encourage somebody who is suffering? You know what I'm saying? How could I be one that people will come to me when somebody is suffering, that will look up to me? So I want to encourage somebody. It could be my wife, it could be my co-worker, it could be my friends, it could be my whoever it is. I want to be able to encourage them in Christ with the word that I have resident on me, that I give them at least, you know, a solution, a biblical solution for the life. You know, if they, because we're going to have headaches in life. Believe me, we will. Nothing on earth is, you know, not because you became a believer, everything will be honky-dory. No. In fact, we got the enemy behind us now. Because he knows now that, hey, that Jesus freaked there right now. You go and get him. You see? So now we got the old sin nature plus the enemy. We got double whammy now. So we have to be able to encourage people. Because believe it, as the new believer starts growing, they're going to be targeted also by the enemy. So we have to be able to encourage them and help them, you know, get their fears, the first steps. They're going to be crawling. So we have to be able to help them develop as they get to the image what Christ wants us to be. And along the way, we're also growing with them and help them up to get there. So what I did, so I'm inviting you to pick that word. To pick that word and how you can influence others. Okay? You're going to see how God is going to work in you. You're going to see how you helping others is also going to help you tremendously in fighting. You know, whatever we're going through, He's going to help us. And as you keep accumulating those words year after year, so instead of my New Year's resolution, I pick a word. That's what I do. At the beginning of the year, I pick one word. Because I pick the resolution, believe me, I don't do it. If I say, I'm going to exercise this year, believe me, by the end of third year, I'm done. But this, I remember. I put it on my desk. So I know what my word is. My computer. Whatever that word is. Okay? It could be, you know, a word that makes sense to you that you're going to remember. Whatever that word is. It could be help. It could be forgiveness. It could be love. Whatever it is. Integrity. It could be whatever. Help. You know, so whatever that word is, just pick one for you. And you're going to see how God works in you. Now, at the end of each year, okay? So as you go through your life, you have all these words. You're almost making like a book with the words that you have. now, and you can write down your ups and downs, your milestones, how that word helps you each year. Okay, and you write it. Next day you got almost a book written, but now you need a title. You need a title for your book, and that's your life word. Okay, so you title your book is going to be the life word. That's your legacy. How would you be remembered? When they open that book, they see your milestones, your struggle that you went through. Not everything was hunky-dory. You went through some struggles, but through the strength and the word that you had in you, you were able to overcome them. There were days that you failed, but guess what? You used 1 John 1:9 and you recovered, and you placed it there, and I had victory in Christ that I went through it. He got me through it. But your legacy is your title of your book now. Okay? So when you're gone, when we're out of here, others may see that. How would you be remembered? That's going to be beautiful. It's going to be beautiful. So, your life word become your life. And you're going to have a story for people to tell. You're going to have a legacy. They will remember you while you were here. What did you do for Christ? Well, to be able to do that though, you have to have, you want you to have a life word, you're going to have the three intersections. Okay? One is going to be your gifts. What gifts do you have now? Because we have to be able to be specific how we're going to get there. Each one of us have a gift. Each one of us have at least one gift. At least one gift. Some of us may have 2, 3, 4, whatever it is. Depends on your capacity. The Lord knows your heart. He's going to give you that capacity. So you're going to exercise the gift that you have. You're going to recognize that your gift that you have. Of course, that comes through the knowledge of His Word. You exercise your gift. Okay? And you're going to be able to help your life word become effective. So now you have your life word. Next, you have the next one is your purpose. What is our purpose? To determine your life is to determine your purpose. Everything in your life is designed and made with a purpose. Everything in your life is designed and made with a purpose. That's how God designed us. You are not here by accident. Most of us will wrestle with the questions, why am I here for? Why am I here? Why would God place me here? We should be honest with ourselves. Why am I made to do? Or are we looking for the big P in our life, our big purpose in our life? See, some of us, we don't want to tackle the little things. But the Word says, faithful in little, faithful in much. Right? Sometimes we want to find a big purpose in our lives. But God may be placing little peas in your life. Many of them. You see what I'm saying? That becomes one big pea. So don't get frustrated because you're only getting those little purposes in your life. Because with that, along the way, will come the big purpose in your life. Okay? So, you call to be anywhere. I mean, it doesn't matter where the Lord places you. It could be a teen, it could be in a church, it could be in a... Whatever it is, the Lord has a purpose for you. Use that purpose for Him. Alright. Now, define your purpose, whatever it is. Use those gifts. Define them. Now, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, it says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." We are all designed to do good works. We are all designed. We have been designed with great purpose. And it is up to us to see that we do that. Sometimes maybe our design is to raise our kids. And some people say, "Well, I'm just a stay-at-home mom or stay-at-home dad. I don't have a purpose in my life." Maybe that was your purpose in your life. Maybe you were designed to stay home, raising those kids, so those kids can be somebody for the next generation. Do you see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Everything has a purpose. But people always say, "Oh, they're just homeschooled." Like there's something wrong with that. No, that's one of the greatest things on earth. Because those people have a Christian values, and those kids, they've been taught in the home. So maybe that's your purpose. It could be something else, but maybe it could be at work. You know, it could be wherever you are. Now, maybe it's to open a company with great integrity. And maybe through your company, people will see that you have a man of God, and that you'll be able to help others that can see Christ in you. And you never know. If they like the way you acted, they may like your God. So when something goes wrong in their life, they will come to you and you can share the good news of Christ. Yeah. So there's definitely ways that we can minister to others. So maybe it's a recovering ministry. Sometimes we left those people behind. Oh, they're just drug addicts. Could be Christian ministry. Could be the nursing home like David's been doing for a long time. Oh, that's just old people. No. It has a purpose. Those people are children of God. They long to hear the word of God. And they need somebody in that ministry. Everything has a purpose in our lives. Anything. There's so many ministries around that we can be part of. So don't look for the big P. There are little P ministries that make a huge P. Big purpose in our lives. So don't get concerned that you're not serving in a big ministry. No. Maybe that's not what God wants for you. Maybe He sees you better, more one-on-one basis. Because sometimes in a big ministry, it doesn't really get to the point. You see what I'm saying? One-on-one is much better. It's hard because sometimes, in your ministry, you're going to find people that maybe lost a loved one. And that's where you come in. Especially women. Women will talk to women immediately. But how godly is a woman that has the word of God and be able to minister to the other women? Do you see what I'm saying? That's why I'm so thankful in Bible college that those women come and study the word of God, because as a wife of a pastor, they still have the tools available to help them. Not because they can teach behind the pulpit and they understand that, but it's to help the young women in the church that are struggling because of her spiritual experience that she has. And not only her spiritual experience, but also her life experience, how she can get to that next level. It is important. Extremely important. Especially in marriage. I think that's why marriage is failing so much, because we don't have the godly women that we had in the past. We don't. It's few far in between. We need those women of God to step up. Okay, this is what God asked me to do. Paul said in his epistles that the older women be teaching the younger women. And us will be teaching the young men. That's how we were supposed to be. But now, it's already done. That's why we got so much chaos in the world. Because we're not doing that. That's my whole point about this message. What are we doing now to influence the world? Is this world going to be a better place because of us? We got so much work to do. We got so much work to do. So, but the last step of discovering your life word is to discover your passion. Okay? So your passion. Something that really motivates you. Every day. You have a passion. Every single person has a passion. If my wife tells me, okay, Luis, would you clean the garage today? And if he calls me and says, Luis, can we go golfing? I say, yeah, can we go? I will go golfing before I clean the garage. Do you see what I'm saying? Every single one of us have a passion. A passion is something that simply is what motivates us, what energizes us. Okay? When you wake up in the morning, it could start right there. If you wake up in the morning and says, oh, just another day at work, I got so many things to do, working with the same people, oh, it's going to be a drag, oh, I don't want even to go, you already started in the negative side. You see what I'm saying? But if you wake up in the morning and says, good morning, Lord, thank you for another day, brand new and fresh, this is the day that the Lord has made, let us be glad and rejoice in it. Rejoice. I'm made for this day. I am made for this day. Lord, help me walk this day with you. What? How do you think that would change your passion? Differently, huh? How do you think you're going to be at work? With a different attitude, right? Yeah. So that's part of your life word. Well, if you say, I am made for this day, you're going to see the difference in your work, in your life on that day. And each day becomes the same way. You continue to exercise that, your life will be different. I promise you that it will be different. God talks about it in Galatians chapter 3 verse 23, and whatever you do, do it with all your heart as unto the Lord. Everything you do, even picking up the trash, honey, take the trash, alright, you see what I'm saying? So when we stop worrying about pleasing people and start being consumed with the idea that we can please God, that we can do His work, that we can be an instrument of blessing to others, everything gets unlocked. And that's passion. That's passion. I believe that God expects us to live with much more passion than we currently are. He wants us to live with a passion for Him, for others, helping others. That's why He placed us here. I think that there is a decision most of the time. Well, throughout the years I've been thinking my life word. And I hope that I'm titling my book rightly, because I want to write inspire. I want to inspire young people. I want to inspire adults. I want to inspire men of God to run the race. To run the race, to run the course to the finish line. Because in that finish line awaits us our reward. Not going to heaven. That's a done deal. That's a done deal. But what we did for Christ, you know, when it's all said and done in your tombstone, what is it going to be written? There was a lady, actually, there was actually a coach that went to this team, went to Asia, right? And all these kids, they were actually not performing, they're underperforming. And this coach says, brought them all into the room and says, what's going on? So he went one by one to every single kid. And the last one was like the best player. He was one of those tennis coaches. And he says, why do you want to play tennis? And she says, because I want to be famous. That's what she said. So the coach went to the blackboard and he wrote a tombstone and he wrote there, famous. He was looking at it and she was looking at it. And he says, is that what you're playing for? And she broke down and started crying. Because in her past, she had a hard life. She was actually homeless. She was actually in foster homes. Okay? So she wasn't treated well. Right? And now she thinks about it and says, and they asked, the coach asked her again and says, is that what you're playing? And she goes, no. I want to make a difference in the young girls who are struggling in their lives. And when we take that with faith, God can make a huge unveiling victory. I want to be that person that is going to take those young women to a victory, to change their lives if they're struggling. But that sets a different attitude. And guess what? Do you think what happens at the end of that game? They won many games because of that attitude. So that's our passion. If you think, I think about the Lord Jesus on the cross. If you can think, just picture that. What word would that be on that cross? Love. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. For whosoever, not you were picked, whosoever believes in Him shall have eternal life. Right? And what greater love is for the one who has laid his life for others? That's what He did. He laid His life for us. We were so far away from Him, but He laid His life for us. That's Christ. So as you think of your life work, think of your legacy. How would you be remembered? How are you going to be remembered? As we do your funerals, you're going to see, how are you going to be remembered? I hope that we all remembered in a positive way when we made the influence on this earth while we were here. But others, that what we did influence others to follow Christ, to run that race along with them and cheer them up. And we are the other end, we cheer them up. Come on, you're almost there. 1 mile to go, 500 meters to go, and we're there. So that's, I hope that's our legacy. I hope that our legacy makes a difference in our lives, and in your tombstone will be your legacy. Inspire, or whatever your word is. Okay? And may the Lord help us to live our lives unto Him over here. We only got this much. We only got this so many years. That's all we got. All the things that we can do is now. That's it. After we're gone, there's no much we can do. It's done. You're going to be enjoying the rewards of what we did here. What we did here. That's it. So may the Lord give us the courage, the strength, just to go through life. putting him first. Keep an eye on Jesus to finish in that race. We don't care what the world say, because that world is going to flee away from the presence of God. So you know that's worth nothing. But what will matter? What we did for Christ. Amen.